You know, when you want to discuss one true God with your people, first you need to have a common ground here for discussions. First we need to understand that God is one. There is only one God. Deuteronomy chapter 6.
Amalango chapter 6.
Deuteronomy chapter 6.
Amalango chapter 6.
We read verse 4.
Lavelenga napashinte chapter 4.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one.
Mufweni mwebe na Israeli, Jehovah lesa wesu, Jehovah umo wine.
This is the idea that was introduced here to the people of God.
The Lord is one. The Lord is one.
There is only one God. Alright, we turn to 1 Corinthians. And see what the apostle has to say about this. We turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 4. Therefore, concerning eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is no other God but one. Chapter 8, verse 6. Yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we are for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, to whom are all things, and to whom we live.
And
this one God is also the Father. Of whom are all things. This one God is also one Lord, Jesus Christ. To whom are all things as well. And through him we live. So we see that this one God here, superficially, at least has two titles given. He is also called the Father. He is also the Lord Jesus Christ. So from the Bible, we know that at least there is only one God. Return to James. The book of James, chapter 2. We read verse 19. So James chapter 2, verse 19. You believe that there is one God, you do well, even the demons believe and tremble. First we need to understand what some of the attributes, the divine attributes of the one true God. We know that God is almighty. We say that God is an infinite God, meaning He is the all-powerful God.
Yeah?
If God is all-powerful, it means that He can be in three different forms at the same time. Meaning that He can appear in the flesh, and at the same time He exists in the spirit. Because He is the Almighty God. Meaning He can be in you. The spirit that is in you is the full God. And the spirit in me is also the full God. But in the spirit there is only one God. We cannot use human measurements to measure God. For example, because the God in you, the Spirit in you, is the full God. And the Spirit in me is the full God. Therefore, 1 plus 1 is equal to 2. No, you cannot do it this way. Because in the Spirit, God does not function in this manner. So, being Almighty God, He can be in different forms at the same time. So, you know that the God that is in Jesus, we'll come to that later on. We know that God came in the flesh. God also dwelt in this body of Christ. If the full God is in Jesus, does it mean that there is no God in the universe? No, God still continues to fill the universe. Why? Because He is God Almighty. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Right? So, one God, who can manifest Himself in different forms simultaneously. He can be in the form of Jesus and dwell in that form fully. Continue to exist in heaven. He continues to fill the universe. And yet in the spirit, there is only one God. Is that clear? That's why Jesus said. Return to John.
Chapter 10.
We read verse 30.
Chapter 10, verse 30.
I and my Father are one. We need to make this very clear. Here Jesus is not talking about the union of two gods. To form one. Just like, you know, some Trinitarian belief. Within the Godhead, there are three persons. This is not what the Bible teaches. When the Bible says Jesus and God is one, are one, it means that in the spirit they are one. It's not that, you know, again I said, it's not the union of two gods. Return to John 14. We read verse 23.
John 14, verse 23.
Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him.
Yesu ali aswike nokutira kuri wene ngo muntu antemwa kuti abaka ichevo chandi na tata akamutemwa kabiri tukesa kuri wene nokutito obwikalo bwesu kuri wene.
From the face value of this verse, the pronoun we refers to the Father and Jesus.
Acheto kuma pauchina mwai chishinde twasange chuyete ifwe ilelo shakuri Yes.
But according to the promise of God, it is the Spirit who will come to them. Now I want you to read the same chapter. Same chapter, we read verse
16.
And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. And this helper is the Spirit of truth, according to verse 17. So you find that the Father and the Son actually are the Holy Spirit. As much we say, in the Spirit, God is one. Is that clear? Alright, now, before I go on, I want to introduce some of the terms used in the Bible. And I also want to introduce to you some of the terms which are commonly used in Christianity but cannot be found in the Bible. I want to first turn to Romans chapter 1. Please turn to Romans chapter 1. We read verse 20 here. Chapter
1,
verse 20.
Chapter 1, verse 20.
If you look at the word Godhead, can you see the word Godhead? Godhead actually is the divine nature or the deity of God. So this is the term used to describe the fullness or the complete divinity or deity of God. I want to read the Colossians. Chapter 2. We read verse
9.
Colossians chapter 2 verse 9. For in him dwell all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Right now, you find that the fullness of God, yeah, the complete God, Godhead is in Jesus. Does it mean that if the Godhead is in Jesus, therefore in the universe or in heaven there is no Godhead? God still filled all in all. Because he is almighty. You understand what I'm saying now? So is that clear? Now, here having laid the principle, I want to help answer a question. Okay, we turn to John chapter 17. John chapter 17.
Yohane, chapter 17.
And this is a very wonderful verse to remember. Because it helps explain the one true God.
Okay,
we read chapter 17. We read verse 3. And this is eternal life, that they may know you. You refers to the Father, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. The Trinitarian believe that there are three persons in the Godhead.
There's
the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Meaning, in the fullness of God, there are three persons. You know, persons actually are not used in the Bible. The only place that you can find the word person is in Hebrews chapter
1.
Actually, the word person in that context refers to the essence of God. Now, in verse 3 here it says, who was doing the talking here? Jesus Christ was praying to God, is it? He made it very clear. He said, you, that is the Father, the only true God. He is like excluding himself. Jesus cannot say that he is also the true God. No.
Yes,
when he said the Father is the true God, he is saying that God in the Spirit is the true God, including the Godhead that dwells in him. You understand what I'm saying? If that is not the case, then it becomes very difficult to explain this verse. Jesus Christ was praying to the Father. According to the Trinitarian concept, there are three persons in the Godhead. These three persons are the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, only the Father is the true God, excluding the other two persons. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
And this doesn't make sense at all, isn't it?
Yes.
Are you following me?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Therefore, when we talk about, you know, God is one. He is one in the Spirit. So when Jesus was praying, he is saying that in the Spirit, God alone, is the true God. The one God is the true God. God in the Spirit is the true God. Is that okay? Alright, now the other term used in the Bible is the term manifest. Now we tend to first Peter here. Yeah, there are many other verses, apart from first Peter here. Chapter 3. Okay. First Timothy chapter 3.
Chapter 3.
We read verse 16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. This is the term used in the Bible.
It
said God manifested in the flesh. The Bible never created a distinction, between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Apart from their function, They are actually one in the spirit. Again, I said, when we said they are one in the spirit, they are not three separate persons joined together as one. Rather, we take the stand that there is one God who manifests Himself in three different forms. That's why the Bible used the word manifest. I think we can turn to 1 John. 1 John. We read chapter 3.
Chapter 3.
We read verse 8. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8.
Verse 5.
And you know that He was manifested to take away our sin, and in Him there is no sin. Here it talks about the Son. Jesus Christ, isn't it?
Yes, Christ.
So Jesus Christ manifested in the flesh. To take away sin. Just like 1 Timothy said, God manifested in the flesh. So who is this God? This God is Jesus. Yes, enough? Okay, now we read verse 8.
Chapter 3, verse 8.
He who sinned is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. We know that the Son of God here refers to Jesus. The Son of God means God has come in the flesh. So He was manifested. According to John chapter 1, it means that He came in the flesh. Or more precisely, it says the Word became flesh. Now we come to the next point. Now, in order to fulfill the role of accomplishing the salvation plan of God, we know that God has to come in a human form so that He can shed blood for us and die on the cross for us. So we find that the difference between the Father and the Son is not the difference between spirits. Rather, it's the difference between the spirit and the flesh. Because God came in the flesh. That's why He was called the Son of God. You understand what I'm saying now? Apart from that, there is no distinction. Like what I've said before, the spirit in you is the same spirit that is in me. But does it mean that there are two spirits? No, there is only one spirit. You understand what I'm saying now?
Yes.
Oh, I saw the full God that is in Jesus Christ actually is the same God who is the Father in heaven. You understand what I'm saying now?
Yes.
Okay, I want you to read John chapter 3.
John chapter 3, we read verse 13.
No one has ascended to heaven but He who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. So the one who came down from heaven obviously is Jesus, who came in the flesh.
todo mundo.
And this son of man is still in heaven. How can that be? Because the spirit is still in heaven. The spirit at the same time is also in Jesus. Can you see now?
Yes.
Okay, now we're trying to answer some questions. Some people may ask you, why did Jesus Christ pray to the Father? We use the principle that, you know, the difference between the Father and the Son is the difference between the Spirit and the flesh. So when Jesus Christ was in the flesh, He is a man. At the same time, He is God Himself. Okay, now we turn to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 5. Now here it talks about Jesus praying to the Father. Why to read verse 7? Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with vehement cries and tears to him, who was able to save him from death and was hurt because of his godly fear?
Wene munshiku shabu mubi wakwe uabuntuse papuninika ukulomba no kupapata pamono kukuta kwa kalanda neflamba kuwari na maka yakumutula kumfa kari au mfilwe pamulandu wakutina wakutina lesa.
Here it talks about in the days of his flesh.
Apelanda munshiku shabu shabu mubi.
Meaning? When he was a son, just like Hebrews says, he has human weaknesses. But the only thing is that he has no sin. That's why it's the man, Jesus, who prays to God, the Spirit. Just like us today, even though we have the Spirit of God in us, we pray to God, am I right? You understand what I'm saying? The man Jesus prays to the Father in the Spirit. Return to Colossians.
Chapter 2.
Colossians chapter 1 verse 22. So in the body of his flesh, through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight.
So
when Christ died on the cross, it is not the Spirit that died. So according to Paul here, said in the body of his flesh, you that is the man that died. The Spirit cannot be killed. You understand what I'm saying? So when Jesus cried out to the Father, why have thou forsaken me? It is the Spirit of God that left Jesus. Because at that point in time, Jesus was shouldering the sin of men. Is that clear? Yeah? Alright? Okay, we read the First Peter. First Peter, we read chapter four. Chapter 3, yeah?
Chapter 3.
Okay, chapter 4, verse 1. Huh?
Chapter 4, verse 1.
Chapter 4, verse 1.
Chapter 4, verse 1.
Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself also with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin.
Naicho apo Yesu atuchulida mumbili ipangisheni ipangasheni impangi iya kuti watuchulida mumbili nale koko membuka ukuti ekale no mweo kabili mumbili kuti to lukumbwa lwa
muntu. Quite clearly, Jesus and Peter is talking about Christ's suffering is in the flesh. We read chapter 3.
Chapter 3.
Verse 18. Yeah?
Verse 18.
Chapter 3, verse 18.
Chapter 3, verse 18.
For Christ also suffered once for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh. Can you see? But made alive by the Spirit.
Pakuti na Kristu pamo achulide imembu umukumu uwalungama achulide pamulandu wabashalungama ukuti hatuparamike kulilesa kumobili mwamona wene ari ipaiwe.
So when Christ died, it is the body that dies, the physical body that dies. Because when Christ came, he was given a body, according to Hebrews.
Chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10.
Chapter 10, we read verse 5.
Chapter 10, Lebenga, verse 5.
Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. We read verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God. This man. I want to read Acts chapter
20.
Verse 28, yeah?
Nemo chapter 20, verse 28.
Okay, now here it says that to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. When was this done? When God came in the flesh, isn't it? He became the Son of Man. And he died on the cross. That's why he said God came in the flesh. Meaning he used the blood that he came in the flesh to purchase what? Us from sin.
So
is this clear to you?
Yes.
Enough for today. Tomorrow I will show you more examples. If I finish tonight, then tomorrow I got nothing to say.
I have to
show
you something.
Yeah,
yeah.
Go for 5 minutes,
maybe.
Maybe go for the next 5 minutes.
5 more minutes.
No,
okay, no problem.
I thought for you what.
Right. Now, you know, when we said, Jesus is God, we are talking about the God that is in him. Because when God, Jesus is in the world,
We
said that he has dual nature. He is God and he is also man. So, you understand what I'm saying now? It's not like when he is a man, then he is not God. No. He is man and he is also God. When he dies, it is the physical body, the man that died. So when the body prays, is the body that prays to the Spirit, the Father. But we need to understand that the Spirit within him is also the Father. Is that clear?
Yes.
Yeah? Hello?
Yes, sir.
Okay, it's not like we said that there are three persons. Three persons, the word person is never used in the Bible. There's another term I want to bring to your attention. Some people say that there are three entities. Sometimes I find it strange. How can you use a unique measurement to describe God or to measure God? Because God cannot be contained within a unit. You understand what I'm saying? And clearly the Bible said God is spirit, isn't it? So can we measure spirit? That's why I feel that the term entity is not suitable, it's not a very good term used to describe God. That's why we do our best to speak the scriptures language. God is spirit. John chapter 4, we read verse 24. Verse 24, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Now, you know, God is saying that, Jesus is saying that God is spirit. When he was talking, was he not a man? At that point he was a man, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Is that not true?
Mm-hmm.
Now I want you to read verse
26.
So Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Who is the he?
Yes.
The Yahweh, if I can use the term, yeah?
Ni Yahweh.
The Lord in capital letter. L-O-R-D. That's why he was saying to the woman, the Samaritan woman, I will speak to you and he, I'm the one, I'm the Lord God. You know, because in verse 25, the woman said to him, I know the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said, I who speak to you am he.
Because
the Messiah is the Lord God himself. Especially in the book of Isaiah, the Lord is called the Savior, am I right?
Yes, yes.
That's why Jesus said, the one who speak to you am okay, we turn to John chapter 8. We read verse
58.
Okay, we read verse 56 first. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Talking about the ancient past, isn't it?
Alelan paista kuno mat Abraham shinwe
Obviously, the Jews did not comprehend what Jesus was saying, was talking about. Because they did not believe that, you know, this Jesus who was in the flesh, actually in the spirit, is the Father Himself. Verse 58. Jesus said to them, most assuredly I said to you, before Abraham was, I am.
Yesu atiye kuri bene nde mweba ichina chinati ilio Abraham atilita la wako ine ni eko.
So Jesus was the I am.
Yesu ni uwaba.
Is that clear?
Chao Fika.
Oi? 5 minutes has passed.
I tell 5 minutes.
I need correction.
I think color the
film. Is that it?
Chao Fika.
Let's go. That's it. Tell him, in the name of Lord Jesus.